All right, how is everybody? Bit tired? It's Wednesday night after our missions conference. Appreciate you being here. Go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians. I wonder how many of you would consider yourself to be a shoe person. Anybody want to put their hand up and say, yeah, I'm a shoe person. I like a good pair of shoes. I like these high heels. They make my calves stand out really nicely. Or maybe, no, not you so much. No. You know, maybe you just like a new pair of runners. You like those shoes in the window that at the shops. I remember as a young person growing up in Papua New Guinea, I liked shoes. And obviously in the bush, we didn't have a lot of shoes. It was mostly just thongs or bare feet. But as I grew up and I went to school and started playing sports and started doing things and needing to look certain ways, shoes became something that helped me to sort of differentiate who I was. The problem in PNG, and if anyone starts a sentence like that, you know it's going to go somewhere. The problem in PNG was the shoes weren't authentic. So what would happen somewhere else other than in PNG? You get all these different factories, you get Nike, you get Reebok, you get Adidas, you get all of these different companies, and they'd be making their shoes, and then they'd have the discard. Maybe you'd have a whole bunch of tongues from Nike, but you'd have the sole from Reebok, you'd have an Adidas, you know, upper on the shoe, and then somebody in their wisdom, some amazing entrepreneur said, I can go around, I can collect all of that, and I can make a shoe. So we get to PNG, and I go shopping, and I walk into a shop, and I see through the window a nice pair of Nikes up on the shelf there, and I think to myself, these would be great basketball shoes, great volleyball shoes, great soccer cleats, whatever it might be. I go in and I buy them, and as I look at them, sure enough, the tongue is Nike, the sides are Reebok, and the sole is Adidas. And that's great for a little while, but because they're not authentic, the first time you play basketball, the sole comes off. The first time you get them wet, they begin to fall apart. You know, often I think as believers, we can be a little bit like that. We add things and we change things and we become a little bit, how do you say, unauthentic? What's the word for that? I don't know. We lack authenticity. In 1 Thessalonians tonight, we're going to just go through a couple of really quick things that are going to help us to be more authentic. Paul is writing this letter to these believers. And if you look back into Acts, we can see that Paul had been in Philippi and they had to quickly leave Philippi. There were some things that happened there that caused some concern, and so they quickly left Philippi. They came to Thessalonians, or to Thessalonica. They were only there for a very short period of time, but a number of people got saved. And then again, Paul and the men that were with him, they moved on very quickly. And then we have this letter that is written back to this body of believers. One of the things that we see throughout Scripture, and as we talk about authenticity, one of the things that we see throughout Scripture is this emphasis placed on unity, an emphasis placed on us as believers being united, being of one accord, being of one mind, thinking the same thing. And as I draw closer to Christ, as we grow closer and more consistent in our walk with God, we start to have that. We start to think the same. But we also see in 1 Corinthians 12 where it says that there should be no schism in the body. There shouldn't be any divide. There shouldn't be any separation. We shouldn't have contention within the body. We should be united. And like those pair of shoes, we should all be coming from the same place. We should all be being impacted regularly by our walk with God, and we should have unity within that. And when we start to talk about authenticity, we start to understand how we have that unity. So go ahead, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read verses 1 down to verse 12 together. And I'm just going to give you three quick points, and I'll hand it over to what is our usual custom with Jewel, and we'll go into our time of prayer. But let's read Thessalonians chapter 2 together. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile, but as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her child. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you are dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses in God also how holy and justly and unblameably we behave ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, Father, we are grateful just for the time that we can come together. Father, we can reflect on the missions conference and, Father, the speakers there and Father, your word going forth and convicting our hearts. And, Father, we are weary now. We've had a long weekend, and we've had a long week leading up to this. But, Father, I know that you still have more for us. So, Father, tonight as we dig into your word, Father, I need you. I need you to work in my heart. I need your Holy Spirit to guide my mind and my words. And Father, tonight I pray that it would not be a man that stands up here and speaks the words of men, but Father, this would be your words for your people. Father, we love you. We're grateful for what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Couple things that we can see here straight away. If we have a look at verses 1 and 2, in order to be authentic, as a believer, there's a couple things I must do. There's three things here that I must do. The first thing that we see here is that we need to serve God with boldness. If I'm going to be authentic as a believer, I need to serve God with boldness. Have a look at what he says there. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully treated, as you know, at Philippi. So they've been shamefully treated at Philippi, And yet as they come to Thessalonica, he says, we were bold in our God unto you to speak the gospel. There's a boldness despite what's happened, despite the circumstances, there's a boldness in their serving. There's a willingness to look at what's happened in the past and go, God is still moving and God is still working and God can still use me, and I need to be bold as I take the word of God forward. And so often I find in my own life that what happens, the reality is that when something hard happens or something hurtful happens or something painful and causes me to struggle and to self-reflect, and that happens, I tend to stop looking outward, to stop looking at, hey, this person needs the gospel, this person needs Christ, this person needs help, and I start looking at myself. I become inwardly focused as opposed to bold in my service and reaching out and looking out. And Paul says here, we were bold. Despite what happened, we were bold. And can I challenge you tonight, serve God with boldness. Serve God with boldness. Yes, reflect on what's happened. Reflect on what God's doing in your life. Look at those struggles and realize, as we saw in James, realize that there's joy that can be gained in this because it's God working in us to mold us and shape us into the people that He wants us to be. In Philippians 4, 8, and 9, we see it says, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as the Lord. I can have boldness because what I'm doing isn't for me. This gospel that I take forth, this gospel that we preach, this scripture that we handle, this isn't for us. Yeah, it applies to my life, but as we go forward, we do it with boldness because we're doing it for God. In Joshua 1, 6 through 9, go ahead and turn there. Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Again and again, we see this same phrase here. He says, be strong and of good courage in verse 6. And again in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant had commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Be thou strong and very courageous. Again, we see it in verse 9. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Be strong and of a good courage. We need to serve God with boldness. Who is it that gives us strength? It's God. And because God is giving us that strength, we can serve Him with boldness. And that boldness is not a brashness. It's not a contentious boldness. This is a boldness because I recognize where my strength comes from. It's a boldness because I recognize that what it is that we're handling, the gospel, has the power of salvation. And as I take that and as I speak to people, it's God that's doing the work, and my boldness is through Him, not in my abilities. In Jeremiah 1, 6 through 8. Jeremiah 1, 6 through 8. It says, then said I, our Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whithersoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Maybe you came through conference and maybe you were convicted that you need to go out, that you need to be more consistent about speaking about Christ. And maybe you had that emotional time. You listened to the speakers and you were convicted in that moment. And the problem is we can be emotionally charged at that point, but as we walk away and the emotion wears off, we start to distance ourselves from it. And we need to not do that. We need to serve God with boldness. God says, I'll deliver thee. I have this in control. Be strong and of a good courage. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as the Lord, not for yourself. So the first one we see there tonight is serve God with boldness. The second one that we see tonight, and we see this in verses 3 through 6 and verse 10. The second one we have tonight is obey God with honor. We serve with boldness and we obey with honor. What do we see here? He says, our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile. We didn't come from Philippi to you guys here in Thessalonica with our own intentions and with our own way of manipulating you. There wasn't any guile in this. It wasn't us. We're not bringing us to present us to you. He also says, allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Paul humbly recognizes that God has entrusted him with the gospel. You know that as a believer here tonight, you've been entrusted with the gospel. Serve God with boldness. Obey God with honor. You've been entrusted with the gospel. That should convict us. That should hit us. That should change us. He says also here, neither at any time used we flattery words, nor a cloak of covetousness, nor of men sought we glory. We're not doing this for us. We're doing it to glorify God. We're doing it because God has entrusted us with this and we're expected to do this. Nor of men sought we glory. I'm not doing this to get glory for myself. I'm doing this so that you can glorify God. Verse 10, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. We look at Paul's life and these other men's lives. We can look at our own lives and we can be a little bit introspective. We can look at ourselves and go, well, what right do I have? I am the last person that should be doing this. And that's a good position to be coming from, but we also need to look at ourselves and go, hey, God's trusted me with this. And I need to be consistent and I need to go forth with this. The third one I want you to see tonight, love one another with compassion. So we see serve God with boldness, we see obey God with honor, and we see love one another with compassion. Verse 7 down to verse 11. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her child. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only. We didn't just show up and talk about the gospel. What does he say next? But also our own souls. They gave of themselves. Because ye were dear to us. You are dear to us. Do we here in Good Shepherd think of each other like that? Do we think of each other as being dear to me? I think sometimes maybe we do. I think when we come to conference and we're emotionally charged and we're excited and we want to get behind this, yeah, we think like that. But then again, as we distance ourselves a little bit like from that and as we see things pop up and little problems here and there, do we still think like that? I'm affectionately desirous of you. We were willing to have imparted unto you the gospel of God, not the gospel of God only, but also of our own souls, because you were dear to us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we have behaved ourselves among you, that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. There's two things we see in there. First, we see this, a nurse with the children. In verse 7, a nurse with children. We were gentle as a nurse with children. The picture that came to mind for me in this, we go back to Exodus chapter 2, and we look at verses 1 through 10, and here's Moses. He's been placed in this basket, and he's been pushed out in the water. And what happens from there? He's picked up by Pharaoh's daughter, and what do we see happen from there? Yeah, so Miriam comes along and she says, hey, I know somebody that can help with this. And what happens? He gets given back to his mother. And listen to those words again there. As a nurse cherisheth her children. Can you imagine from that mother's standpoint as she gets a second chance with her baby? As she gets to nurse that baby a second time. And that's Paul's affection for this body of believers. Is that how we treat each other? Are we coming around each other in unity and loving each other and wanting to see each other grow spiritually and wanting to see each other develop in our walk with God? In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. Is that my desire for you? We just came out of missions conference and we were convicted and we were challenged, but now we're a little bit further away from that. We need to maintain that love for one another. We need to maintain that boldness to go out and speak the gospel. We need to maintain our authenticity as Christians. We also see in there, he says, as a father with children. As a father with children. You know, as a father, sometimes I have the opportunity just to play games with my kids, build a Lego set, go out and shoot whatever those guns are that we've got, Jabez, I don't know, whether gel blasters or whatever they are, teach Connor how to shoot targets, do whatever it is. I get to be just a dad sometimes. But then sometimes I got to be a little bit more firm. I go say, hey, that's not right. That's not the way that we as believers act. And sometimes as a body, we need to do that with each other. I should know you well enough, Hebrews 10:24. I should know you well enough to know when you're wandering off track and be able to speak into your life and say, hey, something's wrong here. Can I help you with this? Can I show you from Scripture where what you're doing isn't just hurting you, but it's creating friction between you and God? Do we love each other like that? We should. As a father loveth his children, and he says, we exhort and comfort and charge every one of you. And I think Paul would say the same thing to us. I charge every one of you. Be united. Be united as a body. Be bold in your service Obey God with honor and love one another with compassion. Don't lose your authenticity. Don't lose sight of who you are in Christ. Don't let the waters get muddy. Be authentic as a believer. If you love God, you will love one another. If you love God, you'll be bold in your service. If you love God, you'll desire to honor Him above everything else. The last thing he says there is verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. Some of you made commitments. You made decisions at conference. Can I challenge you? Walk worthy of God. Don't let those commitments, don't let those decisions you make drift away now that the emotion's gone. Walk worthy of God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we love you. Father, you are good to us. And yet, Father, so often we lack authenticity. Father, we want to blend in. We want to look like everybody else. And yet, Father, we should desire to look more like your Son. Father, I pray that we would be bold in our service with each other, but also outside of this property. Father, I pray that we would desire to honor you in what we do and not draw to ourselves. And Father, lastly, I pray that we would just cherish each other and get around each other. Father, that we would lift each other up, that we would have unity within our body, and that, Father, as we are united, as we are bold, as we desire to honor you, we would change not just Albany Creek, but we would change this country. Father, you are good to us, and we love you. In your name, amen.